my name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back at Weekly Dose. It's a jamboree. There's goodies and laugh cans and even gay flair. Through comic books and TV, it's humor share. And through, I found a place where every geek will know my happy Cody face. Here's a Weekly Dose.
What's happening, y'all? What's everybody doing out there? This is the Weekly Dose. Hopefully all y'all are doing pretty good. It's the second show in a row. We're making sure we're consecutive this time.
Consecutive.
Consecutive indeed. So this is going to be weekly. I am your host for tonight, Xavier, a.k.a. Muy Mariado. And with me, I have Witty Supername.
What's up, y'all?
That's not my real voice.
I know, that ain't your real voice.
I'm just going to repeat things so they don't forget my voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then next you know it, we got the one and only Norwood.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Abba Zabba.
A lot of enthusiasm there.
That's
Luke.
Your catchphrase. Yes. Abba Zabba, y'all.
Abba Zabba. Abacadabra. Steve Miller. I'll get a catchphrase one day, guys. I promise.
No. I just gave you one.
No. Abba
Zabba.
I have to come up with it myself. It is, if you have to give me the catchphrase, it doesn't count. See, now.
But zap. Zap.
I could go kazaa, but no. See, fail again.
Make Cody happy and say kazam.
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 Cody the Thorverine from CBT has an unnatural fascination with Kazam, the rapping genie.
Ha ha ha, kazam. I think that's the way Shaq sounds.
Why don't you say kazam?
Kazam.
Now I can't use it because Dez said it better than me.
No, that was just the Shaq voice. Oh my gosh. Okay, well.
Dez does all the black voices better than all of us.
It's a natural ability, I believe. Well, okay, so we'll go ahead and get right into the show. It's been an eventful past week. You know, a lot of good news popped up and a lot of good comics came out as well. So let's go ahead and get this started. So, geek news. Woody, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys. This is geek news, and with CBT, of course. First off, I'm going to mention Marvel news. I guess this is where we're going to go with it. Marvel Shield gets its a brief synopsis and official title. So that's really cool. The little synopsis says, Agent Phil Coulson returns to the world. Wide law enforcement organization, S.H.I.E.L.D. He puts together a small, highly trained team of agents to tackle the cases that haven't been classified yet, the new, the strange, and the unknown. That team consists of Straight Arrow agent Grant Ward, played by Brett Dalton, an expert in combat and espionage. And then there's pilot and martial artist agent Melinda May, played by Ming-Na Wen, and brilliant if socially awkward scientist, Agent Leo Fitz, played by Lane D. Kaystecker. I guess that's how you say that name.
That's a mouthful.
I know, right? And Agent Jenma Simmons, played by Elizabeth Henstridge. They'll be joined by a civilian new recruit and computer hacker Sky, played by Chloe Bennett. Okay, it says, prepare for an epic adventure that showcases the hope and wonder of the human spirit. This is a world of superheroes, aliens, and the unusual, of action, spectacle, and world-spanning stories. The show will speak to the human condition through the lens of our very human, non-powered S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. That together, we are greater, we are apart, and that we make a difference in the world. So that's that, guys. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited for this show. I think ABC has a winner here.
I believe so, too. Like, I'm a bit intrigued as to how Coulson would return. You know, and it's the fact that they already made it obvious that, yeah, Coulson returns. I'm just like, well, in what capacity? Like, was it just like a little decoy kind of thing, or just like a fake-out kind of death, or... Yeah, I don't know. Like it opens up a lot of questions as to what could possibly be the reason behind know, him being alive all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like, would this at this point with him being alive, would they keep that classified? Especially since the Avengers within the film, like, they all were told that he was dead. It was all confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just their motivation point to get together, which is another thing that I kind of hate, death being a motivation. But that's what got them together as a team to unify, to go out and go against the Chitauri and Loki. But, like, do you think that they will keep him being alive classified for the rest of the members?
I don't know, guys. I don't know. Well, in other news related to the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, Angel star J. August Richards joins the show. And here's the deal. He has a super top secret role. So there's speculation. Could he be Nick Fury Jr. or a young Sam Jackson Fury? Maybe flashback sequences? I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think about this? I love him. Personally, I love him as an actor. I think he's great because, I mean, he did that, like, hardcore, you know, kind of gangster role and Angel. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, you know, he changed over to that lawyer, and he was, like, really smart, and he's been doing, like, lawyer shows and things. He's a great actor, guys.
I didn't like him turning into the lawyer, but I think he's a great actor. I thought he was really good on that show. I don't know. I have no idea who he could possibly be.
He could be any black superhero or villain if he wants to. I mean, he has the capability of pulling it off. That's just how I feel. He's a chameleon when it comes to, like, black characters and comics.
I think he's an underrated actor, and this show will bring him. He'll rise above with the show, I think. So moving on to more Marvel news, Bryan Singer gives us our first look at Days of the Future Past Beast, and his tweet says, "Many a monster wears the form of a man. It's better of the two to have the heart of a man than the form of a monster." And during his pick is only half of the face of Beast. And, I mean, it's your guess is to say who that is underneath. I mean, I'm guessing it's the actor from First Class. But
yeah, Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, it's Nicholas Holt. That's my guess. But what did you guys think about it?
I actually liked it. You know, like, even on First Class, like, I liked the cat look, but I know a lot of people were against it, but...
He looked he looked awkward.
Yeah. I guess with the mouthing, I could say the way he talked, it was pretty awkward. It was very stiff. But now, just with, you know, with him being more human-like, I really do like like it a lot. Like, it really has, it does remind me of, like, the Kelsey Grammer Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more human he looked, it pretty much makes him look even more intelligent as well. So that's what I do like. I do like the new makeup work for Beast.
Okay.
About all you can really notice from it, because it's actually slightly less than half a picture. Because immediately someone reversed it and put it up there, and it looked odd because it's not a complete half. I kind of wonder why didn't, I mean, we've seen Beast twice already. Why not just give us the full face? I mean.
Well, you know Ryan Binger's the cocktease.
Who?
I mean, my bad, yes. Brian Dinger?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Dinger?
That's it.
Okay, I don't.
I like it better than the last one because the cat features are gone. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Did it look to you like he had, like, a white streak in his fur, or could that have just been,
like,
a lens flare or something, like J.J. Abrams is responsible?
I don't know, man. It could be. I was thinking that, too, honestly. So we'll see where that goes. Hopefully we'll have something new soon.
I'd like to see them crack the Beast character. I mean, even Kelsey Grammer, it was like, it's Kelsey Grammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a little padding underneath his suit, with some makeup on, and then some bad wire work. I mean, I think they need to, like, turn him into CG when he starts to move or something, because it can get pretty awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, especially do like they did with the Hulk, you know, just motion capture, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what they should have
done. Yeah, I think that would be a lot better, so that even with CGI, it wouldn't look so robotic and clunky, that they could still do the motion capture and still have the actor still play as Beast and do Beast movements, but yet he wouldn't be restricted to the suit, but yet it's still in still scenes when he's just walking around or he's talking, then it's the actor behind the makeup and everything.
Alright guys, moving on to some DC news.
Ooh.
So the last animated film I guess that's gonna come out was Superman Unbound. But their next feature film coming direct to video they said it was the next after Superman Unbound. So I don't know. Anyways, it's going to be Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox. If you guys read your comic books, you know Flashpoint was a major story that led to the New 52.
Is that the one with Vibe in charge?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Viva la Mexico.
You don't know Vibe?
Vibe.
Vibe.
Yeah, Vibe.
Vibe.
No.
He's a Mexican superhero.
No, yeah. I don't know that guy. No habla Espanol guys.
they might not send the Hispanic characters to your neck of the woods.
No. Probably not. They're probably extra careful.
Never heard of his character. Anyways, the story is based on the Jeff Johns, and the art's going to be based on the Andy Kuber art from the story. The synopsis is, when time travel allows a past wrong to be righted for the Flash and his family, the ripples of the event prove disastrous as a fractured alternate reality now exists where a Justice League never formed, and even Superman is nowhere to be found. Teaming with a grittier, more violent Dark Knight and Cyborg, Flash races to restore the continuity of his original timeline, while this new world is ravaged by a fierce war between Wonder Woman's Amazons and Aquaman's Atlanteans. With breathtaking action and an all-star cast, it's a bold, emotional vision that would forever change the landscape of the DC Universe. So the voices that are confirmed so far are Kevin Conroy for Bruce Wayne Batman. He's going to be in the pre-Flashpoint segments of the film. Ron Perlman will be playing Slade Wilson or Deathstroke. I think that's pretty good. I think that's awesome. Dana Delaney she's going to return as Lois Lane, which, I mean, if you watch the animated series and Justice League and all that, you know she was awesome. She's the Lois Lane character. Then Vanessa Marshall is returning to the comeback as Wonder Woman, so that's awesome as well. But they promise that they're going to post, I guess, the voices of Flash, Reverse Flash, Thomas Wayne, Aquaman later on. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll be keeping you updated on that soon. So, what do you guys think about this?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I really did like the Flashpoint storyline. That was, like, the second one that I liked best outside of Blackest Night. And I really am looking forward. I am excited about the cast, the voice cast behind the film, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, I read it, and I don't know if it just didn't knock me out, but I don't really remember a whole lot about it. I'm kind of curious. The synopsis for it sounds a little different than what happened in the book. It sounds like the Flash goes back to try to change something, instead of the story being started by the Reverse Flash going back to start going back to do something to the Flash's past, which in the book the Reverse Flash went back and killed Barry Allen's mother, which makes him wake up and everything's different. So I'll be kind of curious to see what kind of changes they make, but mm-hmm. I'm just excited to see Aquaman in one of these movies finally. I mean, he's only had a brief cameo in Crisis on Two Earths, where he kind of shows up. Batman just like, no, Aquaman, he's too strong for you, and he's like, oh, I think not. That's like the smallest cameo I think for any of the characters that have been in these movies. So it'll be good to see Emperor Aquaman.
Well, the good thing about this movie is that they're moving forward with each story chronologically. So the next story they're going to go to is the New 52. So we're going to see Aquaman a whole lot, I'm guessing, in the years to come because, I mean, the New 52 Aquaman is badass. So that's going to be awesome to me.
Yeah, for anyone that started reading the New 52 Aquaman, you can also go back to the Brightest Day event that it had a lot of writers and artists on it, but Jeff Johns and Ivan Reis, who teamed up to do the new Aquaman series, sort of got their start on it there. Yeah. That was really the beginning of the new Aquaman series, and I mean, there's a lot of other stories going on in there, but I really enjoyed it there. I mean, he's fighting Black Manta. A lot of the other casting characters came back. Mara, his wife. He's just been underused. It's kind of sad that Cyborg's had more screen time in these movies than Aquaman has. I mean, get right the hell out of here.
All right, then we're going to move forward to and mention briefly about this new Trinity War that DC's coming up. It's their upcoming major event. And, I mean, I've seen some teasers and stuff on it, but I didn't really think nothing about it. But there's not a whole lot of details on this, guys. But it looks like from this picture that was released this week that it's going to be an actual war between the superheroes. And it's supposed to be the covers, the picture that they showed is the covers for Justice League 22, Justice League Dark 22, and Justice League of America number 6. And when you put them together, it makes this really awesome looking image. I would love to have this as a poster. But
absolutely.
I mean, to me, this, I mean, I already know this is going to outdo more the Age of Ultron already to me. Because you got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman fighting each other. So I don't know what you guys think.
Team Wonder Woman.
Dez, always choose Batman.
I can't choose Batman.
All right. I don't care. But, I'm not quite up to date with all of it at this point. I have been reading the new Justice League series. Just not quite. Haven't quite got there yet. I haven't tried Justice League of America. I haven't tried Justice League Dark yet, which I hear it's a really good book.
Yeah.
From what I understand from the images, Batman seems to be being chased carrying this golden head, like this object. I think it's supposed to be Pandora's box. So I'm wondering how much this will tie into to the Flashpoint where Pandora appeared first time. They've made mentions of it in the Shazam miniseries that's going in at the end of the Justice League book. So it seems like they've been laying the groundwork for this for a while, so hopefully it's not, they don't weird it up to the point it's stupid, as often happens, but yeah, I mean, to see those three teams fight, I kind of suspect maybe this is where those teams sort of join together and it becomes a little closer to the old DC universe, or it might be exciting for them to continue to be at odds, have things be a little bit different. What do you think, Dez?
I agree.
Okay.
Okay, well, I guess.
Hard-hitting stuff, Dez Xavier.
I mean, I was sitting there just listening, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, geez, that was very important. I mean, there's not much that I can even add to it because it was just perfectly well-informed. And I
made up half that. I just saw the image.
I don't think.
Look at me, guys.
I'm like 5 issues behind on Justice League. So.
No, but like, I really, like, I have grown to enjoy the Justice League series, and it really has been quite different. I know they, especially how they handle the characters and how everybody's been coming around. Like it's been interesting. And for me, I still prefer Justice League Dark over, but it's still
naturally.
A good series. Yeah. Naturally, tan. Yes.
All right, guys, we got to move forward to our next story. I don't know about you guys, but I've been a Whovian for a little while because of our very own Thor Vereen. He really got me into the show. And he's probably the resident CBT expert and probably the expert on the East Coast, I would say, because he has every episode that is in existence. But
And he's met a doctor. At least one.
And he's met a doctor. He's dressed up like a doctor.
He almost smiled. It's nuts.
Well, so this story is everything we know about Doctor Who's 50th anniversary special so far. So I'm going to start off with who's coming back and who isn't. Right away, when it was announced, everybody, there was a lot of speculation, like who was coming back, who wasn't coming back. Well, recently it was announced that David Tennant and Billy Piper were coming back as their characters. And if you watch the show, you know that this David Tennant, he's not playing the Doctor. He's playing, like, I guess, the clone of the Doctor that was formed from the arm of David Tennant's Doctor, and he went to the alternate reality with Billy Piper's Rose's character, or Billy Piper's character Rose. So that's how they're going to come back. That's my guess, anyways. Mm-hmm. But Christopher Eccleston is not coming back.
Let's call him Destro.
Destro. he's not coming back. Everybody's like, oh, okay, he's coming back. He said, yeah, I'm sure. But then recently he's like, no, I'm not coming back. So he's off the table. It doesn't matter. We don't care about him. I like Matt Smith and David Tennant better than the rest of them. Anyways, John Barrowman is still up in the air. I don't know. With the whole Arrow thing, you know, that should be over for right now, and he should be on a hiatus. So
yeah.
I don't see why he wouldn't do it. I don't see why they wouldn't ask. He's a huge, like, fan favorite. Everybody loves this guy. And,
yeah, John Barrowman's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. So the next one, Sylvester McCoy, he was the seventh Doctor. He was asked about his return, and then he had a little quote, and he said, all of us want to do it just for the fans because that's what they want, but we've heard nothing. Tom Baker's heard nothing. Colin Baker, Peter Davison, Paul McGann, none of us heard anything. I believe that the BBC are doing a very big London convention coming up. All being well, I'll be there. I mean, if the old Doctors would come back, the ones that are living or whatever would come back, that would be awesome. I mean, this is the 50th anniversary. They all put their time and effort in. I think they should come back. But that's kind of all I have for that, you know, guys. So what do you think? I don't know if you guys are Doctor Who fans at all, but
I mean, I'm not much of a Doctor Who fan, but I've tried. But just with the fact that all these actors getting together, it's pretty awesome.
I watched the first episode this week with Mrs. Supername, and she was not impressed, and the first one didn't really do anything for me. I might give it another shot, maybe jump ahead a little bit to where they have their bearings a little bit more. I don't get it. I just don't get it, man. So I will not be watching this week, but maybe someday.
All right, guys. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Xavier.
Oh, me?
You,
yeah.
Baby.
You want to hand it over to me? What's
yeah.
That? All right, well, I guess it will come back over to me, so we can go ahead and just get right into it. The thing that I want to go ahead and talk about is one of the comics that did come out this past week on Wednesday is Harbinger Wars. And Harbinger Wars, or Harbinger.
Harbinger.
Okay, let's start that over. Just say Harbinger Wars. Harbinger Wars.
One of the comics I want to go ahead and talk about is Harbinger Wars. And Harbinger Wars is from
Harbinger.
Okay, let's start over. Harbinger.
I'm sorry.
It's the Harbinger of Doom. It's the Harbinger of Doom.
Just say Harbinger before you start talking.
Harbinger.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Harbinger.
That's good. It's like a binge. Binge drinking.
Harbinger, okay. It's so funny just saying it like that. I don't know why. Okay, Harbinger.
I just blew your fucking mind, didn't I? I just blew your world apart.
I thought you were just like, I thought you were just messing with me. That's why I kept on saying okay, Harbinger. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So comic I'm going to talk about is Harbinger Wars from Valiant Comics, and It's a great event that's currently going on. I know Planet Death is happening, but this is a big crossover event, a first time for this company so far since their resurgence the past summer. And Harbinger Wars, what that's going to do is that it takes place of Toyo Harada's Harbinger Foundation and also the Project Rising Sun Spirit, you know, corporation that's going on, and then they'll be waging a war. So pretty much they're trying to unlock the potential of these, you know, telepathic, you know, beings, you know, and that's what they've been called for as Harbingers. And so you have three different war points going on. You have Toyo Harada and his egg breakers, his top form, you know, Harbingers that are fully powerful. These guys, these people will just seriously destroy you. They have no problem doing with no one whatsoever either. And you also have the Renegades, who are a group of Harbingers that have, like, pretty much led by Peter, that have pretty much went rogue, and they had pretty much had recruited other people with pretty much great powers as well along the way. And so you have the Renegades, and you also have Bloodshot, Bloodshot being the one created from the Project Rising Sun project, and him just being able to come to a mind of his own in a way so that he can go ahead and swear off to protect the children that are being abducted in this program. And so it's pretty awesome just to be able to see this war happen. I know for the first issue, it was just a matter of just having the background and also just having all the stories come together. And for everything, it's been great. I love the first issue. Barry, I had a lot of information. I followed it perfectly well. The art and the story was fantastic. Definitely loved it. It was completely amazing. It blew me away. And I was just like, wow, this is completely awesome. And I already know that it's going to be crazy and intense. But one of my favorite things that I love the most out of the book is the fact that the art itself transitioned many times. So, like, each panel or each segment represented like a specific plane, whether it's within the mind of Peter meeting with the bleeding monk, with Toyo, coming soon to interrupt, but also in the dream sequence as well. So, like, it was awesome just to be able to see that and just see how the artists come together and have a great communication with one another, and everything just flows perfectly. And one of my favorite scenes from the book is just being able to see this astral plane or this astral character conjured by one of the Harbinger's children was looking like he was Mufasa, and just start killing some of the soldiers, which was pretty beast. And I thought it was pretty awesome because it just looked so cartoony. You could even look at it and be like, man, it could easily be out of it. But out of that, I'm like, whoa, no way, it's not. And it just looked perfect. So it was a great book. I gave it 5 stars when I reviewed it, and I'm looking forward to read the rest of the series.
Good stuff. What's the draw of that, the Harbinger, to you? For the people who have not read it yet.
People who have not read it, I know that for myself, I know I've always loved, you know, Valiant, but the biggest draw for me is being able to see the use of these characters, because I know the Renegades and the Eggbreakers, you know, fought against each other in their own series in the years back. But just to be able to see the corporation, to see the actual use of all these characters getting together, and also Bloodshot is just like, I'm just going to just murder you all, just protect these children. And Bloodshot is completely awesome. You know, he's like an amped up version of Punisher.
Yeah.
And
I was a big Bloodshot fan when I was a little kid.
Yeah, dude's definitely violent and riotous, dude, and he will destroy. And so I always just love the fact that it's about to see a man who's like almost virtually indestructible going against these hyper-powered beings, and all of them going against one another. So it's like, oh, it almost seems like it's unfair, but Toyo Harada and Peter are like the strongest telepathics that are known throughout the Harbinger Corporation, and just to see how everything will go forth. So the biggest draw would be the blood match itself, and there's plenty of other surprises to look forward to as well throughout the little event. So it's gonna be pretty big.
Cool.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. I know I got a little bit skittish just talking about it because I got all hype and excited.
you started shaking from it.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah, that's me geeking out. You know, if that's what it shows, that's me geeking out. But the next thing I want to talk about is Injustice: Gods Among Us. Mm-hmm. And recently, there's a demo came out, and they had Batman, Wonder Woman, and Lex Luthor as playable characters. And then it was pretty much a basic straightforward fighter. You know, you went ahead and you fought against, like, Lex Luthor, and you fought against, you know, pretty much like if whoever your character was that you chose, you fought against them first. And you went from fighting against them to going on to the next character, then the last character you would face was Doomsday. And, man, the game was pretty awesome. I just loved it. And I couldn't wait to play the full version when it's done, because just, you know, you could tell that it was just not polished and undone, but that's a demo. And I just know for a fact that when the game comes out, I know who my characters I'm going to play as. I'm looking forward to playing as Deathstroke. I'm looking forward to play as Aquaman. And mainly just them two, because they stood out to me the most. And it was great. So I love the demo. The demo was fun. I know one of the biggest problems that I did have when I first started seeing the video was the trailers for characters and also the gameplay videos were the interactive environments and like the long drawn out sequences to go on to process another stage. Like, I just thought that was just too much. But playing it, I was like, this was awesome. Like, it really just pulled me in. I was like, man, I'm actually in this. Like, it really brought a lot of excitement just playing this game. So I am looking forward to seeing some more of the stage interactions and seeing what else I could go to do to be creative in my combos and with the game. So love the demo. The game comes out soon, and I already got it pre-ordered for, I guess, like the main edition or whatever it's called. And I just got like the statue with Wonder Woman beating the crap out of Batman. Which is, again, why I said Team Wonder Woman, because, yeah, Team Wonder Woman. But also what I did get was I got the card-based battle game Injustice on my iPhone. And we're not sponsored by Apple, so I could say iPhone because I wanted to.
Nobody's sponsored by Apple.
Okay. But it was just it's a great card battle based game. And whenever I think about card battle games, I think about like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. But on here is like everything is touch based. Like it's like a fighter still, but it's still a strategy where how you want to be able to have your cards of power-ups, to be able to power up your team, the soul character, and what else that you want to do. So it was great. And I've been hooked on it, literally. Like, I have my King of Fighters game, you know, on my phone and have, like, the Shackdown game and Words with Friends, but I've been playing Injustice for, like, days straight now, and it's a lot of fun, so I highly do recommend getting the Injustice app for the game. It's also on Android, and definitely have a blast, and then just keep on playing it, because you also would have, you know, exclusives to be able to get, you know, some exclusive costumes for the game as well. So it was a blast.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so
it's a blast.
Yeah, it's a blast. Quote of the night. It's a blast. That's my blast sound effect.
It's a bad sound effect.
That is a pretty bad sound effect.
Sounds like you're taking a leak.
Yeah, a pretty big leak, yeah. It's all good. But that's it from my corner. So let's go ahead and move right over to Witty's corner.
Hello. All right, before I get started, I want to make a quick mention. I know in our banked episode we were talking about Arrow, Walking Dead, all that every week. Probably won't reissue that as an episode basis, but if you have not been watching Arrow or if you gave up on it after the early episodes, it's a good time to give it another shot. This show is continually to kind of surprise me. We even made Cody a fan after all. Maybe not a fan. He dislikes it less.
He's fond of it, and that's
He's slightly fond of it, yes. But basically, the show is just getting better, and almost on a weekly basis. It's almost, like this week, it just occurred to me, this is almost like what a Batman TV show should be. He's mostly in his costume, tracking people down, recurring villains. You know, the subplot on the island's gotten better with with Slade Wilson being revealed as not just the dumb guy in the mask. Basically, they're doing everything that Smallville didn't do, where they would there'd be one little action microsecond at the end of an episode, and Clark was always he was almost never proactive. He was never very smart on the show. This one, it's what we pick up comics for. He's a hero that goes out, tries to find the bad guys and stop them, and they make a lot of use of the actors and the stuntmen's natural abilities, so there's always jumping around, flipping. Anyway, give that a shot. First topic for me is Netflix recommends.
Netflix recommends y'all.
Netflix recommends y'all.
Yeah. A lot of stuff has been added, too much to list, but in the past week or two, Batman Beyond, Batman the Brave and the Bold, several Adult Swim shows. There's almost too much to watch at once, but, mm-hmm. I mean, definitely go check out what's new there. I wanted to talk about Batman Beyond really quick. I believe I was in high school when that show came out, and I was not even aware of it. When I did become aware of it, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to watch a teenage Batman, like sort of like a Spider-Man, Iron Man combo. But, I mean, after all these years, I've heard a lot of people talking about how great it is. So I'm starting to watch it now. I'm not all the way through it, but it's actually continuing to impress me because it takes itself pretty seriously. It hasn't quite gotten to the level of the animated series yet. Most of the episodes are more action-oriented, but it's a darker show than you would have thought. I mean, some of the episodes kind of veer a little darker than the animated series, because back then in 92, when Bruce Timm was doing the Batman show, sometimes they made it a little bit too kiddy, a little too jokey. They had to pull their punches a little too much, whereas they seem to have loosened up on this show. Before I ramble on too much about it, I'm going to ask Norwood what he thinks of it, because he's a huge fan. Norwood.
I watched it when it first came out. Like, I didn't have the internet. Well, I had the internet back then, but I wasn't, like, on websites and stuff where they announced what shows were coming out. So I just kind of, like, turned it on one Saturday, and there it was. And I was like, what is this show? You know, and I was kind of mad because I loved Batman the Animated Series. That was, like, my favorite show as a kid. And when I saw this and I saw old man Bruce Wayne, I was kind of mad about it. But then I was like, well, I'm going to give it a chance, and because there was really nothing on back then anyways. So I gave it a chance, and the more I saw, I was like, man, this is so awesome. This is one of the best shows ever. It seemed adult. They had, like, the whole relationship between Terry and his girlfriend, and he was struggling between that and school and then being Batman. And, I mean, he wasn't even trained. And it seemed like the whole show he really didn't train, but I'm guessing those are just things they never showed. But yeah. You know, and it showed the relationship between all the characters, even the dog. You know, at first didn't like Terry at all, and then Ace. That slowly throughout the show, you know, Ace started liking Terry, and I mean, I don't really have anything bad to say about it other than it didn't last long enough.
So I kind of missed out on the train stuff too, but. You know, I guess you're dealing with a 20-minute kids show. You kind of have to introduce the villain, have a fight, have a resolution, have the character learn something. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. The last episode I watched, Old Man Bruce, which, by the way, I mean, that's reason enough to watch this. It's Old Man Kevin Conroy in the gruff self he is. He's gruffer than he was as Batman, but he can't quite. jump off buildings anymore.
He's like an old man Clint Eastwood in
Gran Torino
or something.
That's reason enough, even if you don't like the concept of a future Spider-Man, Iron Man, Batman, you know. But the last episode I watched, Terry's kidnapped, and Bruce puts on basically a robot suit to go fight the bad guys. I never get into the robot suit type of Batman, but, I mean, just to hear the original animated series theme swell, as Bruce suits up. I mean, the suit goes over his face, Iron Man style, and have him start kicking ass. It's just, gave me chills. But anyways, I'm going to go on to Woody Recommends.
Woody Recommends, yeah.
I'm not Woody.
This is Woody Recommends.
No. Don't call me Woody. Oh, no.
It's said Woody.
The moment's gone.
Yeah, Norwood.
Well, you hurt his feelings.
No, with all due respect, I just don't want to be called Norwood.
Hurt my feelings, guys.
I'm sorry. Anyways, what I read this week, I just got the Black Glove Deluxe Edition in the mail. Basically, it's a new version of it just contains the Black Glove and Batman and Son at the beginning. Basically, it's a better deal to get it that way, so that's why I did it. I don't really know anything about the Black Glove. I just barely started to pierce into it, but I mostly wanted to read Batman and Son. I glanced through it originally when it came out and on the bookshelves, and I was just like, oh, my God, they gave Batman a son, which we talked about that last week. But what I saw, he was just an asshole. I don't know any other way to say it. He was just a jerk. He seemed way too out there. But, I mean, now that I've read a lot of Damian over these last few years, I really wanted to go back and try it out. It's been 9 years, so I think probably not everyone's gone back to read this, but I definitely recommend it. Obviously, the writing's by Grant Morrison, the art's by Andy Kubert. I think this is some of Grant Morrison's stronger writing so far. It starts off really fun. There's almost a Neil Adams tone to it. Basically, this started out of the 1 year later storyline DC did. After the Infinite Crisis, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman basically just go on vacation for a year, I guess, just to recover from all that and leave the crime fighting to the rest of the Justice League and the rest of the DC universe. Batman comes back, and it's revealed that he's pretty much defeated supercrime in Gotham, at least for now. He's locked people up. It starts right in the middle of a battle with the Joker. The Joker thinks he's finally gotten the jump on Batman. Batman pulls out a gun, shoots him right in the face. Yeah, the Joker is not even conscious to realize that it was an imposter, Batman. The thing I really liked about this first part, and they really put you into it right away in this story. The part I really liked, though, is he carries the Joker off in his arms, just like in the Arkham Asylum video game. But instead of just handing him over to the cops, he picks him up over his head and he throws him into a dumpster. Which, that's really what it is. They almost made it melancholy in Arkham City, but, I mean, this is the guy that spit in the Joker's face after he died in The Dark Knight Returns. I mean,
yeah.
He hates that guy. That he gets the dumpster treatment.
Yeah, he gets what he deserves.
Do you concur, Norwood?
I agree.
But do you concur?
Do you concur? That's the question.
Doctor?
I concur. Doctor. Barely.
Barely concur.
You should have said that.
No, verily. Like
verily.
Verily.
Verily. Verily.
Don't
that's
do it like
easily twice as good as concurring.
Mm-hmm.
anyways, after it's revealed that he's defeated supercrime for the time being, Alfred and Tim Drake Robin suggest that Batman takes a vacation because he's starting to get lost in the suit again. Apparently, he's always getting lost in the suit. But basically, he decides to go to London to some sort of benefit. He meets a... and this, I don't even know how to say this next part, but he meets Jezebel Jett, who's a millionaire supermodel turned leader of a small African country. And, basically they kind of dig each other, but unfortunately, Talia al Ghul is holding something over, I can't think of the guy's name, but Man-Bat, the original Man-Bat, who seems to be cured. basically threatening him for the serum. And right in the middle of this event, a bunch of ninja man bats attack, which is ridiculous, but awesome.
Sexy.
So, after fighting the ninja man bats, he's taken prisoner, held before Talia, who apparently, in this part of the story, she pretty much hates his guts, but introduces him to your son. They don't really show Batman's reaction here, which I kind of think they should have showed a little more reaction, but oh well, it jumps in time. Damian is sent back to Gotham with Bruce. This is the part where I don't think Grant quite understood what the character was at this point. He's sort of a plot device. He's a little too nasty. Obviously he's been raised by assassins and ninjas and all that. But he's not really a three-dimensional character. He's just basically a petulant little punk you want to smack in the face. Batman basically goes out to do his thing, do what he does. And Damian sneaks out of the house and kills someone, a criminal. After he decapitates a criminal and shoves a freaking grenade in his mouth. So, a little off the reservation in this story.
That's the code of Batman.
Yeah. Basically, he confronts Tim Drake, basically tells him he should be Robin. It's his right as Batman's son. And he just straight out attacks Tim Drake and sucker punches him, basically. He pretty much leaves him for dead, steals Jason Todd's Robin uniform, and goes to tell his father that he's the new Robin. Batman's a little upset with him, as they tend to the mortal wounds of Tim Drake, and he basically ends up having to take him along with him to confront his mother. Basically because Damian's not safe to be left even locked up in a room. He'll just get out, he'll kill someone else. I mean, the dude's nuts. By this point, the character was starting to develop a little bit. He really does not understand why Batman's upset with him. He basically tells him, like, what are you talking about? This was my right to kill the person that standing in my way and take his place as your son. This is my right. And I think that's more of an interesting twist than he's just nuts. I mean, he's been raised by assassins. That's all he's known his whole life. So
yeah,
that's immediately what he does. At this point in the story, he's actually trying to not he's not trying to piss his father off. He's trying to, like, be a part of his life the best way he can, you know. They go to confront the mother, and this is the point where Grant Morrison originally intended to kill Damian, where Damian's literally standing between his parents and Talia saying, hey, you can either die now or you can come with me. Damian, you know, make your choice. Do you want to live with me? Do you want to live with your daddy? And Batman's just saying, there's no way in hell I'm going to hook back up with you. You're nuts. And Damian's basically, you know, this is the part where he's basically the child of divorce saying, you know, can't you guys just get along? I mean, I'd rather all of us be together. And basically it ends with an explosion and they run off. Grant Morrison decided not to kill Damian. What a huge waste it would have been to kill him at that point. I think it's a waste to kill him at this point, but...
Well, no, especially since they're ending Batman Inc. in, like, issue 12.
So I think 13 now, actually.
Huh? Well, whatever. It might be issue 18, but they're ending the whole Batman Inc. Thing, so...
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me. I told you if you get me started, Hate Tank Norwood's going to come out, man. I'm getting pissed. I'm going to be quiet right now because...
Hate Tank Norwood.
I'm really pissed, and we don't got the time. I ain't got time for this.
We never have time for this. It's a very bad message.
Yeah, that is a very bad message to put out there.
Anyways, I'd recommend this to everyone. I mean, this is where he started. The deluxe edition, which I got It's one of those oversized ones, so it might not fit on your shelf, but it's high quality. After that, there's the black glove and a lot of the other connective tissue that Grant Morrison read. Only barely started to get into it, so maybe I'll talk about that in another time, whether I liked it, whether I hated it. I guess it won't be witty recommends if I hated it, but basically my favorite part of the book, let me get my breath. This is when Damien has originally been brought to Wayne Manor. He's locked. He's basically been locked in a room because they know he's not quite right. And he's just being a petulant little kid at this point. He's throwing the food they give him against the wall. He's telling Alfred to go screw himself. He's he's complaining he's not getting the laptop. And, you know, yeah, I don't need to do what you tell me to do. You're not my real dad. And this is where the idea that this is – the book's not called Bruce Wayne and Son. It's called Batman Son. This is Batman Son. This isn't just some little kid that was raised a normal life.
Son.
Yeah.
Manfred and Son.
Batman just hulks out and starts yelling at the top of his lungs. And this is what he says. Enough! You dishonor your sensei with your lack of composure. Your rage is born of fear and is unbefitting of a student of the martial arts. You'll be given opportunities to prove yourself to me. Until then, boy, patience is a virtue! And I about lost it during that part. I mean, the scene, he's just flexing, screaming at the top of his lungs. And, up to that point, the only way he knew how to deal with Damien was just to be the stoic Batman, say, you know, do this, do that. He doesn't really treat him like his son at this point. He's just sort of baggage. He knows that Damien is not just a plot device to the story, but a plot device to Talia. And he doesn't want him to disrupt his plans. He probably doesn't really understand or believe that it is his son. But but that's the point where it's like, you know, I can't deal with this kid as Bruce Wayne. This isn't Dick. This isn't Tim. I can't take off my mask and say, you know, hey, just straighten up and fly right. this is the son of a man bat. And I love that he's referring to him as his sensei. Like, so yeah, I'm gonna take you under my wing. And the way we do that is I'm going to beat the snot out of you if you don't do exactly what I say. And Damien, for his credit, instead of being a petulant kid at that point, he looks scared. He just bows. He says, yes, father. And he shuts up. And I really love that. And immediately what he does after that is when he goes to fight the criminal. Basically, that's his that's like his it's almost like a cat that brings home a dead bird. Like, as tribute, like, look what I brought you. You want a dead bird, right? I didn't even eat it. It's for you. That's exactly what it is. He scoffed at the idea about fighting crime at first, but, you know, this is his way of proving to his father, hey, yeah, fighting crime's stupid, but, you know, I'm going to find this criminal, cut his head off, deliver it to you. That'll make you love me, right? Anyway, the book is... The book's worth it just for that one scene, and I really enjoyed it. So that about wraps it up with me. I'm going to turn it back over to Diz.
Oh, snap. Well, good stuff. I really did like pretty much your recommendations, and definitely I will have to go ahead and check it out because I know for myself I didn't really read into Batman and Robin and also read into the whole storyline with Damian Wayne, but I know for sure I do want to look back and check it out for myself and be able to enjoy it, pretty much enjoy the storyline, but also I understand just with, you know, how much the reaction and the reason why everybody feels about Damian Wayne. Like, I know that much because I know everybody was talking about it, and I was like, oh, well, now I know. But definitely, yeah, I really am thankful about his recommendations, and definitely you guys should be too because probably would be lost. I wouldn't know who you'd be listening to, but that would be odd. Listen to Witty. He recommends.
Yeah, listen to me. If you're not doing what I recommend, then I was going to say some bad words, but...
Oh, well,
I'm trying to be nice.
I'll say bleep and bleep, you know.
Yeah, just bleep, bleep and read bleep. What I bleep and say, you bunch of bleeps.
See?
That's not right.
It's not right at all.
That's hurtful.
Our viewers know I'm kidding. They know I love them. And before you say anything, Norwood, I know they're not viewers. So, back to death.
They're people. They are people, too. Oh, my
they
God.
Are. They are. But I only recommend what I love, and, you know, that's something. It's hard to know what to read out there. I didn't know anything about what was worth reading. You know, if you only have a handful of options, that's only going to last you so long. So
yeah,
just trying to tell you what I love so you give it a shot. If you don't like what it sounds like, don't give it a shot. But, hey, you could do worse.
Hey, guys, I'll tell you right now, Woody's not going to lie to you. So pick it up or not, but he's not lying. He wouldn't recommend it if it wasn't good.
I've lied a couple times, but only a couple times in the entire history of this show.
Well, I was just trying to stand up for you, and now you're talking about you lying and stuff, so thanks.
I'm sorry.
Bastard.
Norwood.
Well?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, another news.
Oh,
Corey and Topanga are coming back. Now back to Dez.
I gotta do the comics.
I don't know, guys.
This is what the people want to know, Dez.
Yeah, Cory Topanga. Oh, my God.
Girl meets world. See what we did there?
That's hilarious. That was a great spin. I'll have to give that to the creators. That was highly creative. That's why they are the creators. Amazing. Mind blown.
Was it?
Yeah, mind blown. Definitely.
Hey, it was a big part of my childhood, guys. Hey, I learned so many lessons from Mr. Feeney. It's insane how many lessons I learned from him. I mean, from Batman, I learned, you know, vengeance and stuff. My parents never died. I needed to become a superhero. From Mr. Feeney, I learned to not be a jackass in school. I guess that's probably the main lesson. And there's probably some other ones. I watched Family Ties and stuff too, so you know, I was a little Keaton back in the day. But moving forward, Des.
Yeah, so
moving forward.
Before we sit there and start reminiscing about our times and we will be able to draw you guys out, we're gonna go ahead and have a little close. But whatever you guys do, thank you so much for being able to listen to our show so far. This is our second consecutive show, which we will be doing. Just had to put it out.
We've done two in a row, guys.
Come on, y'all. We've done it. So we're going to go ahead and go right into our Twitter handles. If you all want to be able to talk to us, follow us, or try to lead us to a dark alley and try to molest us, you guys can do that. So if you want to, you can
don't
follow.
Don't do that other thing.
Don't do that, guys.
Well, they'll probably still do it to you, you know, Norwood, because that's just how you are. You're a sexy beast. But go ahead and follow us. You can follow Witty at the Witty Dose. You can follow Norwood at NCREB 1986 and Kreb 1986, which makes sense because you read it out. And you can also follow me, Xavier, a.k.a. Muy Mariato, at Muy Mariato. Yeah, you know, thank
everyone
you.
Everyone knows how to spell that.
Yeah, I know, because it's so simple. You can just speak it and be like, well, I know what it means.
Muy Mariato, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can probably spell that.
Finger snaps and maracas everywhere. That's how it is. But that's it for the weekly dose. I'm very grateful for you guys tuning in. Be on the lookout for more episodes to come. And
that's not quite it, Dez.
That's not what? Whoa, not quite it.
No.
Wait a minute. What's this?
I have another gem.
I guess Val Kilmer wants to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't care what Val Kilmer has to say. I don't know about you guys.
Well, you know what? Val Kilmer, you know, he could take it on. So let's go ahead and read. So what did you pick up from Val Kilmer this time?
Another entry in the Val Kilmer Diaries. I go down to Starbucks, and they expect me to pay for my Frappuccino. I said, I'm Val friggin' Kilmer, man. Val Kilmer doesn't pay. But the hipster doofus was unmoved. Remember when I was Batman? I said. And he asked if I was the one that used ice skates to fight the Penguin. verbally assaulting the young co-ed for several minutes. The manager said he had to ask me to leave. I said I would if I could take my frat for free and that kid would be fired. He said, yeah, sure, buddy. I win. I then walked home with my frat. Why am I so sweaty? It's February. Will remember to write an angry tweet about it later. And I must remember to send an email to Starbucks demanding a free frap coupon. I finally sat down and watched Willow because, hey, it's Monday. I'm so good in this scene. Yeah, being Val Kilmer is pretty great. Norwood, do you know where we're going right now?
I have no clue.
Danger Zone.